B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
Like, no, I'm still as engaged now as I was 2 weeks ago when the finals were on.
I mean, you think about it, it rarely goes away because you go through this period, the draft, then you have free agency, then you have summer league.
Yep.
All right.
That goes on for about a month.
And then this year, you'll have USA Basketball.
Mm-hmm. And
you know, and that's every other year because you have USA Basketball, and then you'll have the Olympics, and, you know, so you have all this stuff.
Yeah.
So the sport kind of stays with you.
Omnipresent.
Yeah.
And there'll be a little bit of a period in August where it kind of goes away for a bit, but you'll also still at that time be focused on training camp and preseason. And then for the couple of weeks after the World Basketball Championships, then all of a sudden it'll disappear again, but you'll be immersed in the NFL at that point. And the 2 weeks later, they'll be in training camp and starting preseason games.
Yeah.
I love the fact that they let me down soft. Mm-hmm. Like, boom, the season's over, and now I got this, and then I got free agency next week, and so much on the line.
Yeah.
Same thing in the NHL. They have their draft today and tomorrow, and then, boom, they're going to have free agency
next week.
Now,
will you do like I did last night and why I'd be locked into the draft?
I would love to be, but my son's got a showcase tournament this weekend. He's got a game tonight, two games tomorrow, and a game on Sunday.
What?
So, yeah, because he's playing in a tournament this weekend. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPM.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Like, we're at the end of June and you're still playing hockey?
Well, this is the last of it until August in training camp.
Until beginning August. Of August?
Yeah, first week of August is training camp. Then back to two practices
a week.
That's
absurd.
Yeah.
How old's Evan?
12. It'll be 13 in December.
I mean, and it's like a job.
Yeah. But he loves it, though.
No, listen.
He's got a banged up wheel right now, though.
It's great, but. See, the only thing that I have regrets about where sports is that kids are forced to choose. And I liked when they were able to play
three sports a year.
Baseball, basketball, and football.
You had your fall sport, you had your winter sport, or your summer sport, your fall, and your winter sport.
And it just made you a better, well-rounded athlete.
Totally agree. And I think all those skills in different sports are transferable.
They help you, yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 610-632-0975. But yeah, I'll geek out on the NHL draft and everything going on. I think there's going to be some action today before
the
draft.
What about that trade?
I think there's a lot of momentum behind that the talks between the Flyers and the Winnipeg Jets and Nikolaj Ehlers. And we'll see where it goes.
I like that. That actually got me excited.
Well, you get a 30-goal scoring left winger. I mean, what's the one thing you've been complaining about forever? We need a left winger can bury it. Well, there's your guy. He's 23 years old.
Yeah, no.
Our contract,
listen,
$6 million a year.
Exactly what I want. I'm tired. I need some scoring.
Yeah. I floated it out a couple of days ago, and now I see more people are reporting on like-minded things. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes, though. Nothing's done until it's done. But it'll be an interesting weekend for the winter sports teams, no less, as the Sixers get closer and closer now to free agency, and that all plays out. Their draft, it happens like in the blink of an eye. The NBA, boom, it's over. It's one night. They crush you. You get a lot of info, including what Woj had to say about Kawhi and the Sixers having a meeting.
Yeah, I want to dive into this thing after the press conference. I want to kind of, what possibly, let's dream for 1 second, and what possibly can we do to kind of woo him?
Well, somebody tweeted in, and they said that he was a huge Iverson fan growing up. So you got to get AI involved in this.
Oh my God!
Right,
the best.
Yeah, he was asked if he grew up a Lakers fan, and he said no, my entire family did. And then when the person asked, "Oh, why didn't you grow up a Lakers fan?" He said, "I was an Allen Iverson fan."
Oh my God!
Well, then come on, we got to get AI to take him out to Lynn Villa Orchards.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's never been to Lynn Villa Orchards.
No, but he's about to go. That's
it's
how
funny
you wow
to me
him,
too.
Though.
No, all he's got to do is. They just got to go hang out at Fairmount Park, drink some Coronas.
40s?
That's it. Yeah. But he loves his Coronas.
Yeah.
AI. No, AI was a Corona man.
With a lime?
No lime. In the park a lot. It's funny. I'll give you one great AI story. Like Larry Brown used to, you know, he would be late all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so But his rationale was he was in a park lot drinking beers, drinking Coronas. And his rationale was, I'm not late, I'm here.
I'm here, but I'm not there.
I'm actually here early. I'm just in a park lot with my friends.
If I'm here and you're here, isn't it our time? He's like Spicoli. But that's like Spicoli logic.
Is that the greatest?
I'm not late. I'm here. I'm just not in the meeting. Or I'm not in practice.
Isn't that awesome?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, well, you got to get AI.
That would be awesome. Kawhi. AI's got to just take out Kawhi. Man.
I could see AI driving the tractor of like the hayride. Y'all hang on back there. You're going to get some bumpy turns in here.
Yeah, I don't
you know
see
what I'm
that.
Saying? We're going to go pick some apples.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
It's good AI you do.
I've never done it, really done it before, but there you go. This, that, and the apples, the dirt. 610-632-0975.
Where did the apples thing come from?
Remember, they went to dinner. They went to a big steak joint. Yeah. He busted out a dozen apples and ate them with a fork and a knife.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got to go at least some peanut butter, a little protein with the apple, no?
It's amazing, man.
Jamal Hutchinson tweets and goes, you don't do anything. He's a cyborg. You just write him a check.
No, but again, anybody can write him a check.
Yeah. You got to do something.
So you have to do something. I love the fact that's a big deal. The AI thing?
Yeah. That could put you over the top.
AI should go see him wearing a Kawhi Leonard Sixers jersey.
Oh, okay. In a Kawhi jersey. And get the cornrows done just like Kawhi gets his done.
That would be outrageous.
Oh, that would be.
No, this is big. We got to get AI on the caper.
Yeah. Is AI here today? Can we talk to him?
I don't think so. He's around somewhere.
Oh, yeah. TGI Fridays. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the introductory press conference. Yeah.
The beauty of AI now is that, like, he's happy. He's loving it. Like, he's a super fan now.
Yeah. He's a great ambassador. And he doesn't have to be on time.
No. An ambassador can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Whereas when Hugh Douglas was the ambassador of the Eagles, he was the badasseter.
Yeah.
Let's go to...
And he fought T.O.
Yeah, coming out of the tub. Let's go to Ed in the Southwest Philly on the Fanatic. What's up, baby?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing today?
Your way.
Hey, I just heard you, Ed, a little while ago talking about, you know, the King of New York and all of that. I just don't see his personality being that. He seems like a basketball player. And when you look at the four options besides the Clippers, they're all East Coast teams, so he's obviously willing to come over here. And if you think back to when he was getting ready to get traded from the Spurs, it was big market team. He just wanted to go to a big market team. Hey, Philadelphia, we're a big market team. And if you look at the Clippers, you look at the Knicks, you look at the Brooklyn, none of those teams are ready to win. Even if you add another star.
Yeah, but my only point is, listen, I hope you're right, all right? So let me preface this by saying I hope and pray you're right.
I
think you on the sell the New York thing. I think he's won before.
Yeah, but
dude, New York is New York.
Can you win that bag of balls there now? Even if let's just say you added Durant or Kyrie, you think they really can win with that team?
Not now, he's already, he wins all the time. Like, he can do a year without winning a title.
Yeah, but you're still going to have those same guys, like that same young team.
Nah, but if you have KD... You and KD.
Whoever. Smith.
You got,
and whoever.
Kyrie.
You have you, Ed. Like, you KD, true. And Kyrie win. You,
okay, Kyrie, how about Kawhi the win. Fact that we took them to their toughest matchup, Toronto?
Yeah, I think he respects us. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think he respects us. And I think, you know, we're in the mix. But my fear is, because I just think... Like, when you're the king of New York, or I say king of New York, I don't mean he's out there. But
that comes with a swag, though. Ed. Don't that have to come with a little bit of swag? Even like you say, he's a cyborg. I don't think that matters.
He's the savior, though, Ed. That's the thing.
Eddie, what if I make you the king of New York? Like, listen, I left New York to come back home to Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do recognize, you know.
It's still New York.
It's New York City, man. Yeah. Like, you know, it's big.
It's got its own power.
Massive.
Yeah.
You know, you can say what you want. I don't, you know, I'm not saying he's got a rule with a swag, you know, that, but I think, he'll cuss, but I think he still goes, you know, this is a major deal.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you like fly into New York, you look out the window of the airplane.
Oh, man. You look at recognize.
You go, okay, this is...
There's other King things. New York?
Yeah, we're walking.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
These other things are cities. This is
Yeah, Metropolis.
So, yeah, this is a Metropolis of epic proportions.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, no question.
You're getting helicoptered here. Yeah. Getting back door here.
Out of the garden.
Yeah. You know, it's just massive people.
Grand Central Station.
But you're living, you know, here's the thing. Like, it's like anything else. I would tell you about living in L.A. or New York. If you're going to live there, you got to have real money.
Yeah, you got to have that kind of scratch.
You got to have real money to live in these places.
Yeah. Yeah, you're living up on the park.
Well, if you're a schlub living in L.A., it's probably why I'm not living there right now, because I do love it. But you're on the 405 sitting for 2.5 hours every day.
To get a loaf of bread.
It's miserable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You gotta have big
but
money.
But you're a paper guy. You don't have to leave the beach here, whatever. Hollywood, whatever.
You're in Malibu,
right?
Chilling out and looking out the window in the Pacific Ocean.
There's
the hills.
Same thing in New York.
Yeah,
right. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Where you living? He's living in. You know, he's got a whole floor.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, he's living in a big brownstone on the Upper East Side,
a penthouse. Yeah. You know, on a 55th floor.
Sure. Doorman, the whole thing.
Right.
Yeah, I watched that. That real estate show on Bravo, $1 Million Listing. You ever watch that show?
I do. Yeah,
the one in New York's outrageous. The what those apartments go for, it's insane.
Yeah,
well, $18 million. Guy's getting massive commissions on the stuff. I'm going, man, I'm going to scratch that guy just made on one sale.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're Kawhi Leonard, you know that's just another stratosphere, of the world, stuff that we can't even imagine.
No, you're dead right. 610-632-0975.
That's why we're living a nice, happy existence here.
Yes. And very subtle.
City. Yeah.
Yeah. Pat, so do we just keep going or do we wait for the press conference? Okay. Let's go to Bill in Fishtown on the Fanatic. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up, Bill?
Hey,
What's happening?
Hey, you know, one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to get too out of hand with this like I did with LeBron. Like, I had LeBron here and signed, you know, and every rumor I fell victim to, you know, he's out at Malvern looking for his kids, he's this, he's that. Now, the thing with Kawhi is, doesn't he have uncles or something that live around here? Or over in South
Jersey? Yeah, he's got a family that lives out here. I will tell you this, I don't think it's real. I mean, I think it's real, but I don't think it's
real likely.
Yes, imminent or real.
I mean,
correct.
If he's got a family, if he's got a you know, like a family dug in here already, I mean, that kind of makes it a little, you know, maybe a little bit easier of a decision.
He's a SoCal kid. You know, I mean,
once you get that in your blood, it's hard to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I think if I was going to rank them, I would probably rank it the Clippers 1, the Knicks 2, the Sixers 3, Brooklyn 4.
Yeah, you know, it just sounds so good. And, you know, I would give up. I would even give something up if I had to. I mean, to make it work.
Of course you would.
Well, he's a free agent, though, so you don't have to.
Listen, I'm so with you, and the prospect of Kawhi, I can't even think about, because it would send me, like, into another, like, plane of existence. Like, I would be so high. I'm serious. I would be like, that's why if you hear me downplaying it, it's because I can't even imagine it. Because guess what? We're walking down Broad Street, brother.
Oh, I mean, I'm wondering, like, if the fan base got in his blood when he was here playing, if he thought to himself, like, you know what, man, it'd be great to play with Joe. And
the fans are, you know, awesome. Really, and, yeah. No, I hear you.
Hey. The environment at the Wells Fargo Center and the bell, the whole thing.
It's scary. It's like, I don't even want to go there because I would be devastated then when he chooses L.A., even though I thought he'd choose L.A.
So you would find it very easy to convince yourself that he's going to make the decision to come here because that's what you want. So we can sell everything that we already know, right? Like,
think about this for a second. So not only are you a, you know, shoe-in, or you great chance to win the title, because you can never say, with injuries, Golden State, sure, we thought was a shoe-in. But not only are you feeling great about it, not only are you feeling dynastic, because you would be a dynasty.
Yeah.
You would get, and all those parades, but every game would be an event.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of game of basketball would be amazing. And every game at the Wells Fargo Center, regular season or not, Regular season playoffs. Regular season games would be an event.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would be a beautiful...
It's a spectacle.
It would be an awesome thing. And, you know, we haven't had that.
Yeah, the two...
We haven't experienced... And I was young during when the Sixers won the title and they were that good. I don't, you know...
That was only one.
I can't imagine when they, you know, how they would be now, this day and age, playing... It would be an amazing thing. Every night we would be excited to watch them play.
Yeah, the two interesting parts of it that intrigue me the most.
I mean, I'm already interested in watching them play every night.
Oh, yeah. Well, but just with Embiid and Simmons.
Right.
You had a guy like Kawhi, the cyborg, to the mix.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. There's two things in play here that kind of confuse me in a way. One is that he's never had the opportunity to pick where he could play. Because he was drafted in San Antonio, developed in San Antonio, won in San Antonio. Then the falling out happened in San Antonio, and he got traded to Toronto, where obviously that we don't think that would have been his first choice had he had been a free agent to go to Toronto. So he gets traded for DeRozan in the package, and he ends up there, and he wins the NBA title. And Woj called it a way station. Now he's got his first opportunity. Free agency in sports is one of those things like you wait for. You can't wait to get there because now all of a sudden you, the athlete, have put in your time and you have control where you go to play.
Right.
Where you're going to put your roots down for the next big clump of your career. You know, it's one of those things that players fought really hard for in sports, sure, through negotiations and CBAs. And now he's got that. So if he has that, does he choose to go home and go to LA? Or does he now have that and go, let me find the best situation for me to keep winning? Mm. And... You know, obviously he's a big-time competitor. The focus that he plays with is off the hook. But then the other part of it is if he's got his mind made up to go home because now he has that control, why even go through the mental gymnastics of taking meetings with the Knicks or the Sixers or the Nets or anybody else if your mind's made up? Because it provides him no upside. It doesn't get him any more money to get more teams involved. The money is what the money is.
Yeah, but I think this is your one chance. Like you said before, you've never done it before.
Yeah.
So I'm sure the agent, and again, you know, maybe the agent is telling Kawhi, you got to do me a solid here. We got all the guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need you to go take a meeting here because of optics.
Yeah.
You know, that's all part of the NBA.
It also help other players on his roster,
too.
Well,
that's the point. The NBA politics is it's a big deal.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, and then the other thing is, you know, who wouldn't, I don't know about you, but wouldn't you love to be courted?
I would. I don't think he cares.
I mean, seriously. I don't know. I don't, listen, we think he's a cyborg. Well, you know, we think he's a cyborg, but he may want to have that little thing. There's a difference between... You know, the mass crowd and the adoring crowd, and then being courted with, you know, unique experiences. Why would you want to be courted with unique experiences?
Yeah, I would if my mind wasn't made up. It would be intriguing to see what each person has to offer.
I mean, I think you owe it to yourself to do it because, you know, I mean, the agent says, listen, I know you're 99%, you want to go home to L.A.
Let's do our due diligence here.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe you go to New York and they walk you through the garden, you love it. Or maybe you go to Philadelphia and, you know, you sit with AI at dinner and you're having fun. And then all of a sudden you realize, you know what?
This is where I belong.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, it's not a stretch with his personality that maybe he does belong here.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, as much as I talk about King of New York, maybe he would prefer Philadelphia. And maybe he would prefer, like he prefers the Clippers. All right,
here's Elton Brand.
News conference.
Defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. So excited to add him to this team. You know, with his great fit and what he's going to do for us. So with that, we'll open up for questions.
Serena Winters, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Welcome, Matisse. Hey, I know you said last night that you were still trying to convince yourself that you weren't dreaming. Does it still feel like you're in that? And what are just the emotions going through your mind as you're sitting up there right now?
I think it might feel even more like a dream now. Like walking through the facility, sitting next to this guy, like, I mean, it's crazy to say because you always imagine, you dream of being in this position, but to actually be there is pretty surreal.
Talking about pretty Keith Pompey, the Philly Inquirer. What's up, man? So what was the most surreal thing about walking through this facility, just being here?
I say the locker room. Just seeing that I got a place in the locker room with this team. Because that's like, I mean, the facility is incredible. It's beautiful. But just knowing that, like, I have my place here amongst it all is pretty cool.
Mark Narduzzi, the Philadelphia Inquirer. Elton, how early in the process did you guys have your eye on him? And was he the guy you went into really focusing on getting?
Yeah, Mark. So actually, we've been following him for the last 4 years as a staff. Last two years, got to meet with him in April, saw his workout, and fell in love. Interviewed him, you know, the high character guy. That's what we need to add to our team. And, you know, his on the court stuff just blew me away. You know, his speed, his agility, his, you know, sense of the ball on defense and where he's growing as an offensive player. So, you know, after that workout, I was blown away.
This question is a little bit of a follow-up. Jason Blevins from the Painted Lines. It seemed like both of you talked last night about connecting pretty early and focusing in on each other. Matisse, you said that once you met with the team, you sort of locked in on the Sixers. What was it about this organization that just made you sort of stop all of your workouts?
I mean, what's not to like? They're a great team. Great coaches, great. I mean, it's across the board. It's just when throughout the season, I mean, just being a basketball junkie, like watching basketball, I've watched Philly and just keeping track of their success and been like, wow, it would be incredible to be a part of something that great. And then when that became a reality and they made it clear that they were interested, I was like, yeah, there's nothing else I'd rather be a part of than this.
Yes, and we're very interested. You know, all the decisions about workouts and things like that, his agent, Aaron Goodwin, I've known him a long time, and his family, and Matisse, that's their decision, but I know I really liked him a lot. So when we saw him on the board, a few other players in our box that we liked were gone, and he was our target. We had to move up to get him, whatever it took, dealing with whatever team. I had to get it done.
Matisse, Kai Carlin, Sixers Wire. You're joining a team right now that has championship aspirations. What can you bring to the floor right now to help this team achieve that goal?
I think I mentioned earlier, just 3-and-D. Just being able to get out there and guard, something I take pride in, something I've done throughout college, and then just being able to be an outlet and be a threat from the three-point line. And then on top of that, just being able to get out in transition where these guys thrive and just being able to wreak havoc out there.
This is Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia. So your first 3 years at Washington, you shot the ball exceptionally well from three. You were just below 40%. Last year, you hovered more around 30%. Was there a reason for that? You think you just kind of had an off year? Or?
I mean, it could be a combination of things. I felt personally with my role on the team that I had to make certain sacrifices to try and help us win. And I think with those sacrifices, we had a pretty good result. We had a really successful season, and I just felt like, for me, my role wasn't going to be trying to take over offensively. It was going to be just be a team player, be a glue guy, and just be able to do what I was able to do on the defensive end to just make it hard for their teams.
Yeah. Matisse, how you doing? Donald Hunt, Philadelphia Tribune. Listen, you were in school for 4 years, man. How much did that help you in terms of your development? Because a lot of guys come out in 1, 2, and that sort of thing, but you stayed for 4 years, man.
I considered leaving early, and I considered it seriously. But that was one of the things that when I sat down with my family and we discussed it, was that I want to be able to contribute right away when I get here. I don't want to be a whole work in progress. And so I felt like if I stayed another year, I'd get another year better, have another year under my belt. And just
didn't see a whole lot of Washington basketball. Just read the stat lines and maybe a few highlights. Is there something you can tell them about yourselves that maybe the stat lines don't say?
The stats say defense, but I think on top of that, just I take pride in doing whatever it takes to win, and whatever that means for my role is what I'm gonna hang my hat on.
Hey, Matisse, Brian Seltzer with the Sixers. What were you doing, even though you might have been not doing team workouts the last couple weeks, month? Like, what were you doing? How are you staying in shape, keeping yourself fresh?
Oh, I mean. And you're a basketball player. You still play basketball. So, I mean, I've been working out every day. I mean, been in the weight room on the court and just trying to do what I can to get better every day. Because I feel like that, as a basketball player, that's my job now. So That was my goal going through it all. And even though I wasn't working out for teams, it didn't mean I had an excuse not to work out.
Hey, Keith, again, but when you know, you took their word, but in the back of your mind, were you a little like, oh, man, I hope this works out. I hope this works out. Was you a little fearful of that?
I mean, with anything, there's a certain level of risk, but I felt like we developed a good enough relationship where there's enough trust and I had enough confidence in it, and I didn't feel like I had to worry. So come draft night, I was just excited.
Elton, Mark Narducci, the Philadelphia Inquirer. You and Vince Rosman and everybody had said in the pre-draft process that you were looking at experienced players that can maybe come in and contribute. The two players you drafted fit that mold. I mean, obviously, how important was that for you guys?
It's very important. You know, we have championship aspirations. And you look around the league, you look in the past, you don't see many teams that win championships with a lot of rookies that are contributing. But, you know, we got some extra assets to protect our future for possible trades or possible growth. And we have five young players that we're developing. So, you know, Jonah Bolden, Matisse, we got Zaire Smith, Shake. You know, we have a lot of young talent that's going to get better and grow. So when we do get to where we need to get to and get that championship, we're not going to dive off a cliff. We're still developing, and we do have assets to keep us in the hunt for years to come. So I feel good about where we are as an organization.
Matisse, Jason Blevins, Painted Lines. Going to your defense, looks like you had a 2-1 steals and blocks to personal fouls ratio. Your ability to stay out of foul trouble while being aggressive on defense, is that part of zone defense, or is that something that you've taken as a focus?
It was a learned thing. If you look at my like first few years in college, you see I fouled out of most games, and staying out of foul trouble was a struggle for me. So I just had to, I mean, like with anything, with experience, and like I said, staying was something I was trying to just be able to learn and grow as a basketball player, and that was a part of it, just being able to do what I'm able to do defensively, but do it for longer times by staying out of foul trouble, because there's a lot of games where I'd hurt the team because I'd be in foul trouble and couldn't play. So I'd go into this season, I wanted to take some pride in being on the floor as much as I can, and that meant getting out, staying out of foul trouble.
Okay, Matisse, how you doing? Donald Hunt, Philadelphia Tribune again. Can you talk about passing Gary Payton? Because he was an absolute legend in the Pac-10, man. Well, now it's the Pac-12, and he was known as the glove.
Yeah, no, yeah. Me and him have talked about it, and when I was creeping up on his record, I could tell he was getting nervous, but it's cool. I mean, going into the season, people were asking me, obviously, if I was going to try and break his record, and I looked at those numbers, and I'm like, honestly, I don't want to think about it because I don't think it's possible. But as the season went on, I just took it a game at a time. And I mean, to think that I'm in the conversation with guys like him and Jason Kidd for a single season steals record, like, it's pretty special. And I mean, I'm not sure if I belong, but I'm starting to feel like it a little bit now, but it's an honor.
Hi, Matisse. Sarah Todd, Philadelphia Inquirer. I'm wondering if you've heard from any of the current Sixers, if anybody has reached out to you, if you've heard anything. And then on top of that, have there been any texts or calls from somebody that, like, sticks out to you that was, like, a special moment last night hearing from that person?
I don't think so. I mean, as I'm sure people know, on draft night, your phone kind of blows up. So if any of them have, I'm sorry if I haven't responded yet because things have been a little bit hectic. But no, I'm not sure yet.
Hey, Matisse. Lauren Rosen with the Sixers. What do you think about Joel and Ben, and how excited are you to play with them?
I mean, those are incredibly talented guys. And I mean, just watching them throughout the season, they're so fun to watch, and they have fun out there. And that's something that I think is great, and I think is huge within basketball. And I know in college it's something we focused on. And just thinking that I can be a part of that and be a part of their family and the Sixers family and get out there and have some fun with them is exciting.
Last one, Rich.
Rich Hoffman, The Athletic. Elton, you said that you had scouted Matisse for 4 years. Was there anything that stood out between underclassmen Matisse to the player you saw, you know, this year?
The group has scouted him. You know, me, I've been really following the last 2 years. But just his growth and development, defensively, his instincts. You know, we talked about him breaking Gary Payton's record. Just a special person. When I got to sit down with him and learn how, you know, he loves photography. He's so high character. He just wants to work in his love of basketball and what we need in Philadelphia and this organization. It was a no-brainer if we could get him. You know, I didn't know if he'd be there, but just glad we could make it to get him.
All right, there it is, the press conference and the introductory press conference of Matisse Thybulle, who the Sixers end up with the number 20 selection in the NBA draft last night, introduced alongside Elton Brand. So Thybulle, the newest member of the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll get back to the phones coming up. 610-632-0975. A lot of media down here today, too, huh?
Yeah, there is. Well, listen, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Listen, we got a team. This is going to be a good team.
Yeah, they're on the forefront once again. It is the Midday Show, 610-632-0975. Anthony Gargano.
I got a guy I think I got a target that I think has a real good shot.
A target as a free agent?
Yes.
Ooh.
Big player. But he's a guy that I've talked about.
All right. Stay tuned. You going to reveal that coming up?
Yeah.
All right. I like that the fact that you're going to share that. I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing. Midday
That's
show.
What we do.
97.5 The Fanatic. Jason Martinez here. I got to tell you about my friends at the Rothenberg Law Firm now. As sports radio hosts and as sports fans, we talk a lot about our great Philly teams, our players, and their stats. And every sports fan knows how important stats are to measuring success and figuring out what's working well. Well, when I saw the stats at the Rothenberg Law Firm, I was blown away. Sure, I already knew that Allen and his firm have been winning here in Philly for years, but it's even bigger than that. Listen to these stats. Did you know? They've been winning for injured people for nearly 50 years. Did you know that they've helped thousands and thousands of people with all kinds of injury cases? And did you know that they've won billions of dollars for injured people? That's billions with a B. You don't have to be a manager of a team to know that these guys are winners. And the stats say it all. So if you're injured and you want to win, you call the Rothenberg Law Firm. I know this to be true. They're not going to stop until they win for you. So here's the number to call. 1-800-624-8888. That's 1-800-624-8888. Or you can always visit their website. That's injurylawyer.com. Again, the website, injurylawyer.com.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
University of Washington.
Matisse Thybulle.
Can I gripe about something real quick?
Yeah, what's up?
Can the NBA just let it announce it as the Sixers pick? And they have to go up there and he has to put on a Celtics hat, even if it's for a fleeting second.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, come on, NBA. The moment of the guy getting drafted, we all know he was not staying with the Celtics and that the pick was traded. But they have to make the pick under the guise that he's a Celtic, and he's got to put on that stupid donkey Celtic hat for a minute. Like, we all know he's a Sixer. So can we get rid of that charade? It's stupid.
Yeah,
it's like antiquated.
I agree with you.
So, like, his draft moment's ruined because he's going to hate the Celtics. Or he damn well better hate the Celtics.
Yeah.
Right? As a member of the Sixers.
I agree.
And then you go back to that tape, and it's the Celtics select. Oh, it's the greatest moment of my life. But the Celtics... The audio says it selected you.
I got a scouting report. Matisse.
Thank you, Bo.
Here you go. I get you, man. I feel you. I understand. It's like the Bruno Fernando when they drafted him and they traded him to the Hawks.
Yeah.
VG was all fired up over Bruno Fernando. He wanted Bruno Fernando as a backup.
Of course he did.
Matisse Thybulle. And this is the scouting report. The Washington guard played atop a 2-3 zone, which further highlighted his already prescient defensive skill set. But it's worth noting that during his final season, the 6'5" Thybulle posted a block rate of 8.4% and a steal rate of 6.7%.
Wow.
So that's pretty good.
Whew.
He's the only player in its database that dominant defensively.
Wow.
And that is in the last 10 years.
Whew. That's impressive.
So that, I mean, you know, I mean,
the guy knows what
something.
He is, right?
Yeah. So here's the thing. So you know how I feel, right? I want veterans and I want guys to come in.
Run it back.
So the guy, I believe, I mentioned him before, but I'm starting to believe that he is a certitude. He's a certainty, excuse me. I say that with certitude. Danny Green. Yes!
Yeah? Well, we all saw what he said about the Sixers when he kind of wrapped up his thoughts.
Danny Green.
He talked about the Milwaukee Bucks and how they weren't nearly as intimidated by the Bucks as they were the Sixers because of their length and the athleticism.
Danny Green. Yeah, I'm starting to feel...
That pumps me up.
I'm starting to feel like Danny Green is a real strong...
Well, he's your 3-and-D.
My veteran, yes.
To win now.
Yes.
Right? And I mean, look, he just won a title, too.
Yes.
All right. So Danny, I'm on board with that. I've mentioned him a few times as well.
You
think that's going to happen?
Strong possibility. All right. I like me some Danny Green.
All right, so you're going to run
back. Did you ever see Kill the Irishman?
No.
Danny Green.
No.
No?
I don't believe in it.
Pat Egan, have you seen Kill the Irishman?
Never Kill an Irishman.
I have not.
You've seen every movie and you haven't seen Kill the Irishman?
He's an Irishman. I apologize. I've heard it's good, though.
What the hell's wrong with you?
We the Irish don't like to see our own getting killed.
Yeah, it's depressing.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
We live forever in our own minds. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean.
Okay, so you run Jimmy's run back Jimmy. Ben, Joe, Danny Green. No Toby?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, again, it was funny because I was having a debate with somebody about Tobias and maxing him out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you max him? Like, he's on the surface. I love to talk to people about this. Give me your thoughts about this. On the surface, is he a max player? Probably not. But for this team to run it back, you got to max him.
Yeah. Does he provide you that value?
Do you trade him? Do you trade? You make that trade off. Do you?
Hmm. Now, you know what the max contract is not what a player is worth on the open market, but it's what your player is worth to you, because that's how you go over the luxury tax. So, if you want to run it fully back, you're going to go 5-year super on Jimmy.
Right. Do you max out Tobias? Some people do not want to max him out. Do you max him out?
Hmm. All right, listen, what's the alternative?
It was on the surface. I don't think he's a max player. Like if I'm a team, I don't know, like the Hawks. Am I going? I got to get Tobias Harris as one of my focal pieces?
No, he's not a centerpiece.
But you're the Sixers. I think you got to max him out.
Okay, so
you got a super max Jimmy, and you got to max Tobias,
and you got Joe on a max, and you're going to have to max out Ben.
Yeah, well, that's all. That's why you go to luxury.
Yeah, okay.
That's why you're in the tax.
All right, it's a good question for the people. I know there's a lot of people that aren't going to agree with you that you got to max him in that situation. 610-632-0975. We're going to talk with the latest Sixer draft pick, number one overall, or not one overall, 20th overall pick that the Sixers
have. Matisse Thybulle.
I like the name, too. Thybulle.
It's a great name. It's a
nimble Thybulle.
He's Australian.
Yeah, he spent time over there, right? That's pretty cool. Another connection to Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Born, I believe, in Arizona, but went to high school, I think, out in Washington, and went to the University of Washington. 4-year college player, which is a rarity indeed.
Yeah, I think they wanted to be older. I mean, Elton said it. They want older players.
More mature approach,
yeah.
Right?
And, you know, one of the reasons why I think, you know, it's funny because I know everybody loved one of Carson Edwards, but, you know, every team passed on him. And every team, because you didn't want to pay him 5 years, you know, it's a guaranteed contract. If you get drafted in the first round, you're guaranteed.
Guaranteed, yeah.
Then you get 3 and 2 options, but it's a guaranteed deal.
Oh, that's a lot more flexibility for a
second
team.
Round. There's no guarantee.
No question. Let's go to Steve in San Diego on the Fanatic. Hey, Stevie.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm a longtime listener. First-time caller. I'm a West Philly, 63rd Lansdowne Avenue native.
Nice.
How did
West Philly go that west to San Diego? Mission Beach.
You know, it was just one of those things, man. And I ended up in Cali. I was about 10, 11 years old. family dynamics made a move. And I just want to call and clarify some things. Like I said, I've been living in San Diego since my teenage years. Big, I'm still Temple and St. Joe's at heart. You know, don't trip. But I became an Aztec fan, and the greatest Aztec that I've seen to date is the Claw. So I'm going to give you a little, you know, a little Cali information. The inside.
Yeah, I like
on the
it.
Claw.
I like it, man. Like, give me some stuff on the Claw.
Okay, first of all, from what I understand, his uncle lives in the Philly area. Okay. And his uncle, from what I understand, is his advisor or manager or whatever. So I just want to put that out there, let you know that. Claw is from Moreno Valley. That's east of L.A., about 40 miles east of L.A., Riverside, San Bernardino area. It's about 60, 70 minutes from San Diego. He just bought a $12, $11 million mansion 10 minutes east of the beach and what they call Encinitas, out there, Encinitas, Rancho Santa Fe, where Janet Jackson used to live. So he just bought that house within the last 6 months ago. So I want to put that out there, too, so you know.
Yeah, it's good Claw info.
If he doesn't resign, I think the reason why he may resign, he might go back to Toronto, is I think the core of the team, basically the majority of those players have one-year contracts left. So I think that may...
Do me a favor. We got Matisse here coming. So this is great info. You got to call us. I love it. You're our San Diego source, our West Coast source, right?
I'm reading about Uncle Dennis.
Uncle Dennis lives in Jersey.
Yeah, so we like all about him here. Yeah.
So we have with us the Sixers number one pick, dressed very nicely, looking sharp, Matisse Thybulle. What's going on, Matisse?
How you guys doing?
How you feeling, buddy?
I'm good.
Matisse is a great name.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What's the origin from it?
It's French. There's a French impressionist painter.
I know. Yeah, I know Matisse. I know the works.
Henri Matisse. So my dad fell in love with his art, and he fell in love with the name when he was backpacking through France.
That's beautiful. So your name, that's V. Matisse. That's amazing. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So let's talk about your game itself. And I love the fact that you're such a willing, and if you take pride in playing defense. And you, in fact, I don't know if you know this, but which I found look fascinating. In the last 10 years, all right, per College Basketball Reference, you posted a block rate of 8.4% and a steal rate of 6.7%, and that's the highest of anybody defensively in the last 10 years.
Jeez, I did not know that. That's kind of nuts.
It's great analytics for you brother.
It sounds pretty good on paper.
How did it feel last night? Your name gets called. Like, you're playing basketball. I know you swam when you grew up, and you had some other things that you were doing, but in Australia. But you're going through 4 years of college. You're going watching the draft every year. You're watching guys that you played against with, guys that you played with, guys that you're friends with, having their name called by the commissioner. Then last night it's your turn.
Yeah,
and your name gets called. What's that feeling like?
It's surreal. Like as a kid, like you always dream of that moment, and you imagine what it's going to be like a million times over. But when you're really sitting there and you hear your name and you get to take that hat and put it on and walk up, it's crazy. It's hard to even like understand what's going on because you just feel like you're in a dream.
And especially, you know, it's interesting. I think for you probably. When you look at the trend of, and you're a smart dude, and you know that a lot of times teams don't like 4 year players, college players. They look at younger and potential and that sort of thing. So I think going into it, you impressed a lot of teams with your workout, with what you do, with that one skill set. Did you going into your senior year, was that in your mind going, I'm going to play such great defense? That's going to be my ticket to the league.
Yeah. So I had to have a conversation with my family and I just sit with myself and figure it out because I wanted to leave after my junior year. So I thought about leaving early was something I considered. And even I had thoughts of it after my sophomore year, after playing with Markel. But for me, I wanted to be, I wanted to be as ready as possible to contribute. And I felt like if I stayed another year and got another year under my belt and got more experience and developed more, that I'd be more ready to do that. And I didn't want to be one of the purely potential guys. I wanted to have a resume. I wanted to be able to show people what I was capable of. So,
well, you know, you're so much stronger. I mean, think about yourself, right? Think about yourself right now compared to you after your sophomore year. We talk about Markell all the time, and you know he needed, in my humble estimation, he needed a little bit more time to fill out and grow. You know, you become a man. I'm sure you see your own difference in the 2 years that you waited, how much more prepared you are for the league.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, people like to say that it's a knock to kind of be an older guy, but I mean, I don't see it, because you're just more experienced, you're more developed, and a lot of times it's a risk when you take these potential guys, and what you see past is a lot of them won't pan out, and I think that's why the coaches and Elton were so high on me, was because they knew there wasn't going to be a lot of risk in it, because I've proven what I'm capable of. And I think that might be a trend you see moving forward, is that teams won't make those million-dollar risks on a teenager who might not pan out.
When you look at the Sixers and you see them through your 4 years at Washington, and you see they've gone through the process and trust the process, and Joel Embiid is the process, but you look at the situation, and this is a team that made hay in the last couple of years, got to the second round of the playoffs twice. You saw the game where Kawhi sinks the quadruple doink that ended the season for the Sixers. But when you see where the Sixers are now, this is a win now team to step into that situation. Does that motivate you even further to put your stamp on this team and be a contributor and be a part of a team that maybe can do something special in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, that makes it even more exciting, because I mean, obviously everyone wants to get out there and play, but to be able to play and contribute to a team that's just so close to being on the brink of taking that step to being champions, I mean, there's nothing more that I'd want to be a part of. And everyone wants to win, and this is a winning team, this is a winning organization, and I just want to be able to add to it.
All right, let's talk about the shot. We're talking to Matisse. He's what a great smile you got, man.
Thank you.
So let's talk about this shot and how you're gonna hone and become that 3D player that I watched the shot, and it looks like all you just need is just to have you work on it and you'd be good to go.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's not broken.
No, not by any means. I feel like I've been a shooter throughout my whole career. I couldn't tell you the exact percentages, but I think close to 40%. This last year, I took whatever sacrifice I had to do to help us win. I feel like I might have had to take a step back offensively, and that's, you saw that in the dip in my numbers. But I mean, shooting's come naturally to me, and three-point shooting's been something I took pride in my whole career since I've been a basketball player, really. And I mean, I'm not worried about it, and I'm just excited to keep working out here and get better and be able to show everyone.
Going through the process with Elton Brand and Brett Brown, through all the pre-draft workouts and conversations and everything, what was your impression of both Elton and Brett Brown? And why is that a good fit for you?
Just because they're super high character people and they're really analytical. So talking to them, they made it very clear that just in the way they speak, but the decisions they make are all thought out. And a lot of thought goes into the things that they do.
Very thorough.
Yeah. So and he's mentioned it before that they've watched me for 4 years. Elton said he's been watching me for the past two. And I felt that in the way they talked to me and just discussing. And they knew things about me that I didn't even remember.
Cool.
So it was a really cool process just to know that they were that invested in me.
Matisse Thybulle, the Sixers' number one pick, with us right now. So, Matisse, did you have any crossover at all in Australia with any of Brett's people or Ben's people? Did you kind of cross paths at all during it?
I don't think so. I was young. I left Australia in like third or fourth grade.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know if I've met any of their people.
Yeah, it's always interesting because when you think about Australian basketball, and the fact that you were there.
Yeah.
Like you've been at a YMCA game.
I don't know.
That'd be classic.
You know, who knows? Like, yeah. You know, the crossover. The one thing I'm curious with Markell, and how close were you with him? And you know, did you follow him here? What did you think about, you know, all that connection?
Yeah. No, me and him were pretty close, and when he got drafted, like. Along with all of our teammates, but I was super excited for him, especially to be such a high pick, the number one pick. Like, that's awesome. And Philly was on like the come up then, so I was excited to see what he was going to be able to do. And I mean, it hurt to see what he had to go through, but I mean, I followed it closely. Yeah,
it was just an odd situation too. You know, to not be able to not be able to shoot.
Yeah.
You know, something you have done, you know, naturally your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a tough spot where you now you can't.
It's the athlete's nightmare.
Something in your mind is blocking you from taking a shot. That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
Because we all thought, I remember when him and Kyle's thinking he would be perfect next to Ben, where you could have a secondary ball handler and he could shoot. And it seemed like he could be able to be a guy that could actually play next to Ben.
Yeah. No, it was really hard to see that, see what he had to go through.
But with you, it's a perfect, you're come in, you play defense, you're on a good team. You know, this is title town now. Like, we're excited. The coolest thing about your experience coming here is people love this team.
Yeah.
It's a great sports town, man. You're going to dig it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about this real quick, because, you know, the players' names, you watch them be, you know, exciting of a player is Ben Simmons, the pedigree of talent. They seem like there's a group that really likes to have fun as well.
Mm-hmm.
How excited are you to play alongside those guys?
I mean, you said it, they like to have fun. And I think that's, for me, it's always been super important with basketball, because like, at the end of the day, we all started playing this game because we love it and we had fun playing it. So so the fact that they continue to have
like
that
on
much
and
fun.
Off the court.
Exactly.
Fun,
yeah, but the fact they continue to have that much fun at this level is awesome. And it shows, like, you play well. Like, you know the saying, you look good, play good, but I think when you have fun, you play well. And
that's right.
Yeah, so this team has fun, like you said, on and off the court. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
That's awesome. Well, welcome, man. Listen, you're going to love it here.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
It's going to be perfect. You're going to win here. So, listen, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, have a great career, and we appreciate you taking the time.
No, I'm excited to be here. Thank you, guys.
Matisse Thybulle. I love that name.
Yeah, well, you're all in.
Big Matisse. Yeah,
let's take the time out. We'll come back with more. It is the Midday Show right here from the Sixers practice facility on 97.5 The Fanatic. You got Family Dodger. Tell the people about the uncles.
I didn't tell about the uncles.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.